Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sonequa Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 188, titled Eastern Christianity. Our scripture passage for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, which reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Our history of Christianity quote for today is from John of Damascus. He said, "When I have no books, nor when my thoughts torturing me like thorns, do not let me enjoy reading. I go to church, which is the cure available for every disease of the soul. The freshness of the images draws my attention, captivates my eyes, and slowly leads my soul to divine praise." Today, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the history of Christianity, we're looking at Eastern Christianity from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. Although in the last chapter our attention has centered on Western Christianity, one must not forget that at the same time there was an Eastern branch of the church. For Christians at that time, both East and West, the church was one. Historians, however, can now see that by the early Middle Ages, the two branches of the church were drifting apart, and that the final schism, which took place in 1054, was long in the making. Apart from the obvious cultural differences between the Latin-speaking West and the Greek-speaking East, the political course of events produced entirely different situations in the two branches of the church. In the West, the demise of the empire created a vacuum that the church filled, and thus ecclesiastical leaders, particularly the popes, also came to wield political power. In the East, the empire continued for another 1,000 years. It was often beleaguered by foreign invasion or by inner turmoil, but it survived. Its autocratic emperors kept a tight rein on ecclesiastical leaders. This usually led to civil intervention in ecclesiastical matters, particularly in theological debates. Theological discussion came to be tainted with the ever-present possibility of appealing to the emperor to take one side, and thus crushing an enemy one could not overcome by mere argument. Given that power, many emperors made theological decisions on the basis of political considerations, which led to even greater acrimony and problems. For these reasons, theological controversy became one of the hallmarks of Eastern Christianity during the early Middle Ages. Pardon me. This is not to say that such controversies were not important. The issues at stake were often central to the gospel. Furthermore, since Christians at that time considered themselves members of the same church, the decisions made in the East, sometimes with little or no Western participation, came to be regarded as normative by both East and West. Finally, out of these debates, the first permanent schisms developed within Christianity, giving rise to separate churches that still exist. Next time, beloved, we will begin looking at the Christological debates to the Council of Chalcedon. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. And Lord, thank you for taking us on this journey back into time to help us to understand this present evil time. And Lord, help us to follow those Christians who stood the test of time, who walked by faith, and they finished their course. Help us to do the same, obeying your great commission and your great commandment. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you.